I simply want to talk to you today just about the faithfulness of God. We have been at this, we'll call it the church planting business, going on almost 7 years. And no one signs up for this and says, yeah, I want to do it. This is not the easy class when you're a senior and they're trying to get by. Say, yeah, I want to take underwater aerobics and yeah, I want to take, you know, basket weaving. And that's not the one. That's not what this is. So when you look at this process, there's no part of the process. Well, first of all, there's no process in following Jesus that's easy. So if anybody tells you that following Jesus is easy, they're lying to you and selling you something. It's not. Or maybe it is for you, and maybe you haven't done some of the things that God has asked you to do, and it's just easy. So if it's easy, come see me later. I'll talk you out of it. So I'll talk you out of it. There's plenty of other things I can show you. So if you're not being squeezed in one area of your life, you're missing out on the life that Jesus is trying to bring into you. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to the process of Jesus. And furthermore, you said yes to transformation, and you said that my life is no longer mine, it is now yours. So you put your life in his hands, and you, in essence, said, I give up control. Because you didn't do such a great job with your life when you had it. Let's just be honest. Come on, you can't boast today that you had it on lock and that you were like soaring in life just because you had it all together. You were jacked up. When I look back at my own life, you were jacked up. There were things that you were trying to process and acting out because of stuff that you had gone through and emotional things that were taking place in your life. And he, in his great mercy, said, enough, I got something else for you. And that process started to take place in your life. The process of salvation, which is ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. It's not the fact that I prayed a prayer one time. And that's it. You might have prayed a prayer, but now it's time to walk out purpose. What does that look like? And God takes you through different seasons. Some are harder than others. The one thing I love about God is God always ramps you up before he takes you on the big one. So many people are looking for God to do great things, and they want breakthrough. They want God to just use me. You ought to be careful what you ask, because God will take you through different seasons to ramp you up so that when you get ready for the next season, you're ready for the next season. We talked about it this morning in Team Rally. You don't get to ride the roller coasters until you're a certain height. Even though you might want to, you're not ready for it. And sometimes you have to walk back down and try again next time. But God is so good and he's so faithful. He takes you to different seasons. And sometimes the seasons for you, they're more difficult than others, and you can't make sense of those seasons because God is doing something beyond your capacity to understand it. So if you're trying to understand God in every season, it's not until you look back, Sharon, in hindsight that you can see, oh, I saw what God was doing there. You can't see all that God is doing. You can see some of what God is doing, and that what deepens your faith to trust him. That's how this works. I don't just get it and then I got it. There are certain seasons where God will graduate out you out of those seasons, and you know that the grace is shifting and it changes. And you know how it is in Florida, the two times a year when the weather changes. Oh my God, you should see it at work. When the weather changes, people are like, I'm going outside to eat today. That revival hits the hospital. Revival hits, people start wearing sweatshirts. Guys, it's 65 and you're coming in sweatshirts. The Northeasterners, we come in, well, this is nice. We're coming in shorts. This is not my normal outfit, by the way, today. This is a work outfit, so we got some stuff to do. Some of y'all might, this is a real casual church. It's casual here today. I know y'all walked in like, what's going on? Different vibe today. So your process begins to change when you say yes to Jesus, and those seasons change, and then certain people get called in ministry. And we always talk about the call of God, and that always gets elevated above the walk with God, by the way. That's another story for another day. And God begins to call people out to do certain things. So as the church, you are the ecclesia, you're the called out ones. God has called you out from the world to be separate, and then God begins to do a work in your life and then show you purpose, and then begins to reveal gifts. And there are certain gifts that God begins to reveal into your life in different seasons, and God begins to develop those gifts. And you don't see those gifts until the seasons are right. There are certain seasons God's called us into where he said, okay, now I've called you to walk into ministry about 20, 25 years ago now. I need you to walk into ministry, and I've got something for you. Even though I didn't necessarily want to, God said, I got it. And by the way, when God has a hold on you, it's very difficult to say no. And then God brings you through seasons, and you begin to grow, and you begin to mature, and God begins to break you. And that's the fun part nobody likes to talk about when it talks about the walk with Jesus. Everybody, when they give the salvation message, sign up and follow Jesus. It's the best decision you'll ever make. And they do a great job in selling it, but a horrible job in talking about the reality of it. Because it's difficult to follow Jesus when you don't want to follow Jesus, but he's asking you to. And anybody who signs up for it and says, I want to follow Jesus and I've said yes to Jesus all my life is lying to you, because no one has said yes to Jesus all life right off the bat first time. It's a gradual there. You eventually get there and say, yeah, I got it. I'll do it. Because you realize that his grace is able to make up the difference and give you the strength. That's why we don't lean on our own understanding. We acknowledge him and he directs our paths. And so some of you are doing things right now you probably never thought you'd be doing, but God has graced you to do it. That's why the grace is there. It's sufficient. That's just what it is. And so God will call you into that season to do it for a season and to plow and to work it until God sees that the work is being done in you. That's why you can't measure seasons by, number one, numeric growth or scene growth. Because what happens with, especially with the world is so production-driven and sales-driven that you have to be careful as a Christian that you don't take that same mindset over into your walk with Christ and say, I am successful because I have gathered and I have produced all this. And now I have a massive accumulation of things in my life and successes, and now I am successful. When I look at Jesus's life, I can see that he was successful because he did what God, his father, told him to do. He didn't accumulate a massive amount of possessions, but he did what his father asked him to do, and he knew why he came and he did it. We know that he trained 12, he had other disciples, and then those disciples would go on to make more disciples. And today we're talking about the legacy of Jesus because of what he did and that he said yes, because he knew that his home was not here, it was in heaven. So you have to be careful when you define success when it comes to a Christian's perspective and the world's perspective. I already am successful because of what Jesus did. He bridged the gap. And now I'm seated in heavenly place. I can't get any higher than I am right now. I can't get any higher than I am positionally right now with Jesus. I'm already seated in heavenly places. So the sheer fact that he died for me and raised me up with him qualifies me to be a son or daughter. So I look at life from a different perspective. So the difficulties that come into my life, I already have the grace to handle them. Because my life is no longer mine, I died to myself, and I've been raised back up to life, and now I live through Jesus. And so I'm already successful. Now, when it comes to my walk and how I walk, that's a different thing. Because now Jesus wants me to produce fruit. The Bible talks about knowing you by your fruit. So there should be an element of fruit that you're producing in your life if you call yourself a Christian. If there is not fruit being produced, there has to be a conversation. Because the Bible talks about in the book of John that if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And that fruit will remain. So my concern with the body of Christ is that they're catching fruit, but they're not keeping fruit. Because seasons have a tendency to shake the tree. And so the tree in this essence is your life. So if your life in one season, you might categorize that I'm in a good place in my life, that will be tested in the next season. Because no season is without its challenges. And your foundation will always be tested on whether or not it's on the rock Jesus or it's on stuff that's shifting. Always. That's why you cannot build for yourself strong foundation on stuff that's constantly moving. That is not the recipe for being successful as a Christian. The quicker you can realize that your foundation has to be on Jesus, the better you're going to be so that when life does hit you hard and change does come, you're already on the rock and you're anchored. And God will allow you time to get there because you're in trial for a reason. You're in difficulty for a reason because God's asking you to jump off that sand and jump on the rock real quick. That's why God brings stuff into your life to test you. Where are you jumping? The last 3 to 5 years, people are jumping ship. They're jumping ship. Christianity, in its essence, has been challenged over the last 3 to 5 years. People's walks have been challenged over the last 3 to 5 years. You don't think so? Identity has been challenged over the last 3 to 5 years. Perspective has been challenged. What do you really believe? That is the question that has been brought to the forefront of everybody's mind over the last several years. What do you really believe? More importantly, who do you really believe? Because that is swaying people. Swaying people. People don't know what they believe. They don't, is it a Republican thing? Is it a Democrat thing? Should I be woke? Should I not be woke? Who should I cancel? Am I going to be canceled? This whole thing is back and forth. And if you're not on the rock, it will drive you crazy. Crazy. And what it's done is it's shaken the tree. And those people who have not been grafted and abiding in Jesus have fallen off. And the Lord's wanted that way because he's tired of games. He wants people who are in. You're in with me? Let's stay in. Because when you stay in, you'll bear fruit. And you might be shaken, but you won't be broken. Fruit that remains. Can you carry the fruit? It makes no difference to get it and drop it. It makes no difference. Everyone in here knows of a person on their favorite football team who has gone out for a pass. The dude was wide open. All he had to do was catch the ball, run. But instead of catching it and going, what he did was he looked here first to see who was coming, took his eyes off the ball real quick, got distracted, and dropped it. And you even hear the commentators say, oh, he took his eyes off the ball because of what was about to come. And I'm concerned because people walk like that. They get concerned about, I got to get, it's coming, but I'm concerned about who's coming after me. What is it you're concerned? Who cares who's coming to hit you? Your goal and your job, your one job is to make sure your eye is on that ball and you catch it and take the hit, no matter what it looks like. But Christians have had fruit tossed at them and they come against stuff and they can't hold it because they get hit, but their foundation isn't strong enough because they're afraid. And one of the challenges in sharing why I wrote the book, why I wrote it, is because I was concerned that people, they don't know how to take hits in life. They were so scared about what was going to happen that they stopped living. And once you fear what might happen, immediately you take yourself out from opportunity for stuff that may not come. Football would be awful if people were scared of contact. It would be the worst game. That's not the game. But people do that. That's what being woke is, Jenny. Whatever you believe, sure. Do you feel like a lion? Sure. And we just let people do what they want to do with because we're fearful of contact. But the believer is supposed to stand up and not be afraid of what's coming, no matter what type of opposition that's there, because of who's with you. And I think what the problem is that we forget who's with us, or his place in our life is not where it should be. Because we always talk about, we like places in life. We always do these leadership things. It's like, okay, let's prioritize our life, okay? For the 40 things that we have to do to be successful. And we go down the list. And we always say God, family, church. And then sometimes we like, you know, we switch it up a little bit. And we don't realize that God has to be at the center of it all in order for it to work. But because most people, if they're honest, God's not really at the center of it all. And so it's hard to be confident when you're going up against stuff, especially stuff that's bigger than you. Because you know the stuff that you're facing is bigger than you. So if you don't know who's with you, it's going to be very difficult to throw what you know at that thing. Because your concern is going to be immediately, there's no way I can take it out. Isn't that what the issue was with the spies in the Old Testament when they were sent out? And it went to the land that God said, hey, you're going to take over this land. But they sent the spies out and they came back and they said, oh, my God, we are like grasshoppers. Not the type of mentality that you want when you're about to go into the land that God promised you. Because immediately your mental capacity to be able to go up against those giants is not where it should be. And you've already lost before you stepped out in the field. And I wonder every day what the condition of the Christian is when they get up. How's their mindset? Fundamentally, you have to have the belief system that I'm winning today. I'm winning. No matter what's coming against me, I'm winning. No matter who shows up at work, I'm winning. No matter what the enemy throws at me today, I'm winning. If it's hard, I'm going to win. It doesn't matter. Because I know who's with me. If you don't have that mindset, it's going to be a rough day. Who goes into a fight, Dean, with the mindset, man, I really hope I lose this one. Just really hope I lose this one today. It'd be really beneficial to my psyche if I get the crap beat out of me. Because I know I'll get more likes on social media when I post it. And I don't watch this show. And I think I stopped watching it about 25 years ago after season 80 of Survivor. They were interviewing some people, I don't know if you all saw this recently in Survivor, where they're actually asking to go home because it's too hard. And I'm sitting there on my couch watching this, and they're having these intense emotional moments about letting the team down. And I feel like I'm going to be a burden. And the best thing is to send me home. I'm really not crying, by the way, now. And I'm watching the show, and I'm like, you guys are all buying this. The goal is to win. I'm in it. I want to win it. If I get sent home, so be it. But I don't want to. I'm going to do everything I can to stay. But the mindset is, I just can't do it. And furthermore, some of the conversations were very honest and real about, I was listening to this conversation. Why are you on this show, number one? I miss my bed. I miss food, my bed. And I'm asking you, please, tonight when you vote, send me home. And this is my concern. Instead of winning, people are looking for ways to tap out because it's not easy. Since when has anything ever supposed to be easy? And my concern in the body, and even in when I'm dealing with people who are in younger generation, is that they've bought into the lie of easy. And thinking that life's supposed to be easy. When you graduate college, realistically, you're not going to be making $250,000 at the law firm. Just trying to help you understand that, okay? You're going to have to work. You're going to have to put in some time. You're going to have to shut your mouth. You're going to have to do some hard work and then be elevated. That's how it works. And even then, you may not get what you want. But are you okay with putting in the work? And then if doors open, they open. If they don't, it's okay. And furthermore, as a Christian, put in the work. Put in the work. I want to be elevated. You know what God does when he hears someone say that? Okay, I want to watch how you work. Watch how you work. Because God sees the things that your employers don't see. Are you doing it when no one's looking? Are you working hard when no one's looking? And God has a way of promoting you and bringing you to where you need to be in front of the right people at the right time. Because he does it. His grace is sufficient. But you want promotion, you're going to have to work. It doesn't come any other way. Sometimes you got to sweat if you're going to be successful. Yeah, sometimes you got to die to self if you want to be successful. We said this a couple weeks ago. You can't feel your way through life. Well, I feel like not going to work today. Well, I hope you feel like not having a job too. And people do this. They do this. I don't feel like it, so I'm not doing it. Since when do feelings and faith ever go together? Ever. My wife's not here. I'm praying for her, praying for about 25 other people who have some sort of flu and COVID virus in this church. And also everywhere people are getting hit from different, because the enemy does this thing every time. Church is elevating, things are changing. We're going to start taking people out one by one. He just always does it. Kudos to her, because even on her, she's on the couch trying to get better. She's in texting and having conversations with people and just talking about the enemy, how it's such a liar, and just saying, bring it. Just the attitude of her. I'm like, that's why I like this one. Anytime your wife's favorite movie is 300, we're going to do something good. Okay. And she didn't say Notting Hill. She said 300. She likes Notting Hill too, but she said 300 is one. We're good. Bring it. That's the type of person that God says is elevation. Just come on. And where are you at? Your mindset ought to be just come on. I'm not saying you're not tired. I'm not saying you're not frustrated with stuff, but I'm saying your attitude eventually has got to be just come on. Just come on and bring it. If you're in a fight, throw the first punch. You ever see one of those fights where people just yelling at each other for about 5 minutes? They're doing one of these things, and they're dancing at each other, and they're yelling. All right, someone going to do something? Throw a punch or go somewhere else. I don't have the time to watch you dance. Go up, deck them, or leave. Let's go. The enemy's going to try this sly stuff. If you want to come out and play, let's play, okay? Because I'm going to eventually find you where you're at, okay? And we're going to say some stuff together. But let's just automatically go ahead and do it. That's why you ought to just get up every day and say, okay, where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? Because eventually you're going to see him at work. And your job is not to run from him. It's to embrace it and go after it. That's what God has called the Christian to do, not go the other way. Your goal is to go this way. This way. Why? Because in essence, it boils down to one thing, and it's on our wall when you come inside. We are part of something bigger. That's it. God is doing something beyond you. And when you can see that it's beyond you, you can trust that whatever I'm going through in my life, there's a far greater purpose that's going to come out of this. Because God is working something out that I can't see, and more importantly, I can't necessarily measure. And if you're that type of person who wants to measure everything and wants to make sure everything is like finite and has its place, it's going to be difficult for you to walk in faith with Jesus. Because what he does is immeasurably more, what's the word? Immeasurably more than what we can ask or think. Not just that God's not going to use you, but we got to get past what we can do and how we think in order for God to take us where we need to go. And that means just being ready every single day to get up for the fight. We're in a new season. We're about to transition out of this place, and God has been faithful here, and he's going to continue to be faithful. But that doesn't mean that the fight's going to stop. Every time this body, every time that this place is getting ready to go to the next level, God always shows us, the enemy comes in and starts picking things. But God's always been faithful, and he's going to be faithful. What does that mean for you? It means that you have a decision to make. You got another place, another level in your life. Are you going to continue to walk with Jesus or not? And that's it. And there's no other way around this. And I wish I could tell you something. I wish I can give you something like pretty, and I can like bow it up for you, and you can take it home and be like, man, that was such a great sermon about love. I wish I could do it, and I wish I could lie to you, but I can't. I just can't. Because tomorrow, you're going to be hit in the mouth with something. And that you're going to have the strength in order to be able to handle it and keep moving. You're probably going to make a mistake this week. Just be honest with you. And you're probably just going to have to suck it up, be like, okay, I learned from it, I moved on. And not allow the enemy to pin you and keep you there so you don't get up again. So are you okay with making mistakes? Are you okay with getting back up? That's the life. That's the cycle. That's the cycle. Are you going to get hit? Yes. Are people going to say stuff about you? Yes. But are you built for it? Yes, you should be. Why? Because the one who's in you is greater than the one that's in the world. And if he's for you, who can be against you? Who can be against? Nobody.